Mike Costa.
Judson doesn't fart in front of his girlfriend. What the hell's with him? Ha, ma, 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 ma. Na, 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 na.
Judson Richards.
You really think they have a microphone on the back?
Okay, I'm just using it to make an example.
I mean, that's one of the dumbest questions.
Non-fiancé farter in front of.
Here's Costa and Judson.
Once they have said, I do. When is the wedding? November?
Yes.
Damn. November. November
it's,
it is.
It's like almost here.
Yeah.
You get nervous, big guy?
Not even close.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the smartest thing that I've ever done. In fact,
you know, that's good for you. That is a great, that is a tribute to Lauren.
Oh, it's
weird,
it's,
man. Still haven't gotten my invite.
It's my greatest accomplishment. One meeting. And getting to marry Lauren, to not inviting Fletch. That is the other greatest accomplishment of my life.
Smart.
In fact, can the Fran Mill thing, Fletch, can we hear that in just a moment? Like, one of the reasons why I love Fran Mill Reyes so much is because, and we're going to talk a ton about what is going on in this clubhouse, what is going on with this Padres team. But one of the things that I think is so great about Fran Mill, now you need someone to balance it out. But speaking of Lauren, like, you know, we've had an issue going on with this one room. We've been trying to figure out, do we have mold? Is there mildew? And I'm having a difficult time with it, like, where I know I need to relax a little bit, right?
Okay.
But it's
okay.
My first house. You want everything to be perfect. Like, yeah. You know, when you damage your car and you love your car and you can't stop thinking about it and you want to get it right. And so I'm like losing sleep over this. Admittedly, I find myself waking up thinking about it in the middle of the night. And then Lauren has this kind of approach to it. It's like, whatever, we'll figure it out. And it really helps balance out the temperature in the home. And that, I think that's a very healthy thing.
Oh, yes.
And then there's Fran Mill Reyes, where now you can't have everybody like this.
No, especially when you're struggling.
Right. And he needs to provide numbers. But we took his singing in front of the crowd at the conclusion of Friday night's game, and we mashed it up with Whitney Houston. This makes your heart sing. Listen to this.
And I will always love you.
When I see singing Fran Mill, like, you want the relentless guy, you want the Chris Paddock guy, and then you want the Fran Mill Reyes guy. And I think it's been very fitting to see them kind of sing together in this fun thing that the Padres have going on. Where did it all begin? I don't exactly know. Annie Hobron will join us at 7:30. But, you know, that's why I'd love to see Fran Mill in the Home Run Derby. I'd love for him to continue growing as a big leaguer. You know, he's on pace for a 40 home run season. But that's the temperature that I think he provides. But on the other side of that, Costa, on the other side of that, I'm like, how are they dropping 2 out of 3 to the lowly Marlins? They come home, they get a day off before they begin a 3-game set. Like, what am I watching? I mean, outscored 18-6 on a Saturday and a Sunday. When they beat you 9-3 Saturday, you better show up and pay them back on a Sunday, not just be all.
No, they couldn't have been flatter on Sunday. And we had somebody in the first hour call us. You can join us anytime you want, family, 844-570-1360, saying we're prisoners of the process. I don't necessarily know if we're prisoners, but we are in the process. And if you're a Padre fan, I think it would behoove you to just kind of settle in. And I'm not going to say, trust the process, but just realize we are in the midst of the process. And the Padres have told us ad nauseum, it's all about 2020.
Time out. Here's what I need to hear from Padre fans, all right? 844-570-1360. Because you got Mr. Process over here. You should take that in Philadelphia, Mr. Process.
Mm-hmm.
Is this part of the process? Is this the lumps kind of that we're taking, right?
It is.
As this team pops in 2020-21. Right. Is this part of the process, what you just saw at Petco Park, dropping 2 out of 3 to the Miami Marlins? Or is this a team that just simply plays down to competition on a regular basis at home? The Rockies, the Reds, the Pirates, the Marlins. 844-570-1360. Are you with Process?
It's young, Process.
Young Margavichus, young Strom, the young arms that get beat up on Saturday and Sunday. Are you part of the process, or is it a team that we still are just watching them regularly play down to lesser competition at home. 844-570-1360. Text line 70470.
Part of, Justin, part of these guys becoming
better. Can I give you two records?
Before
you answer that, just let's set the stage, okay? The Padres come into town 29-27. They're two games over 500, okay? Mm-hmm. They look great against the Blue Jays, looked pretty bad against the Yankees. The Marlins, 19-35 when they got to town. I know they've been playing well. How bad had they been early to be playing well and still 19-35? Are you part of the process, or are they playing down to competition?
Good teams take advantage of the lesser teams that they are playing against. The Padres right now are an average to below average team. The reason I wholeheartedly support it is the process with these guys. The young guys, in order to become better players, you have to cut your teeth. You've got to grow a thick hide. You have to, as you just said, go through the bumps that they are going through. Now, when you have a guy like Will Myers who isn't hitting a lick, or Austin Hedges, veterans who have already supposedly, you know, gone through the lumps, experienced their lumps, there's really no excuse for that. But the young guys, especially when it comes to the young rotation, this is part of them becoming better pitchers for the Padres, hopefully next year, because that's what the Padres have been telling us. I think that you have to settle in and just realize, as much as we want them to get to the wild card, as excited as we were for them to begin the season, this really is, we're starting to see the curtain being pulled back. This is the team we have.
Are they
better? Get used to it.
Are they better than the Marlins?
Yes.
Are they a team that either on paper or talent-wise are better than the Marlins?
On paper, yeah. But if you're better than the Marlins, you beat the Marlins in three games and you don't only score six runs in two games where they score nine.
Well, then you got to take out the two guys that are big holes in your batting lineup. Get Austin Hedges out and bring Mejia up. The dude's raking in AAA.
844-570-1360. And why haven't they done that? CJ wants to talk baseball with us. CJ, good morning on a Monday.
Good morning. I look at the series this past weekend and I see this. It's not that it's part of the process. You actually had a pretty veteran-laced lineup all weekend long outside of Reyes and then France a couple days in Naylor. But that was a pretty veteran lineup, and they got dominated by that Florida pitching.
They did.
Especially the Florida bullpen, where they were just getting blown out. You can't strike out as much as they do. And I don't know where this has come from the Padres, but you watch the teams that are succeeding this year, and they're just grinding at bats and grinding at bats. And you just see the Padres go out there and swinging for the fences every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting kind of old to watch just them take a walk to the plate and a walk back to the dugout, or they take a jog around the bases. It's not fun baseball to watch when you're watching guys just do nothing but swing for the fences. And it's a baseball thing as a whole. And baseball as a whole is going to have a problem here real soon. You have three races that are already eight games or worse out from first to second place. And in the American League, you already have a separation in the wild card race a little bit starting to form. Baseball is going to get very boring here very quickly due to the fact that everybody's just looking for the three true outcomes at the plate.
CJ, good call.
Thanks, CJ.
And I think CJ brings up a very good point. It's like, you know, if the guys that aren't in the process, meaning they're veteran big leaguers, if those guys are getting beaten by the Marlins, the 19-35 team that comes in here, then it's more difficult to point at the process itself. Now, when Margevichus and Strom get beaten up and it's very, very young guys that are supposed to be part of the future and you're allowing them to take their lumps out of them now, it's easier to lean towards the process. But you'd like to see it balance out. And I also look at, again, if they're 29-27 Friday morning, all right, let's say that they sweep them. So they move to 32-27, and they're five games over 500. Like, if they're a better team, why did they not have, you know, more drive, more look for determination coming in after a day off the day before?
Well, if you're looking at Andy Green, and you're either saying Andy Green's message is not getting across, or Andy Green has to light a fire, or Andy Green has to do something drastic. You never want to get into that it got late early mm-hmm. phase with this Padres team. Then he has to make a move. He has to pull guys like Hedges out of the lineup. He has to sit a guy like Will Myers, and the Padre fan can say, wait a second, what are you paying him all that money for? Well, it's not happening. Whether you're paying him a lot of money or not, he is not producing. Hedges is not producing. yank their asses out of the lineup, put the guys in there who are hitting the ball, and see where that takes you. And if you go on a little bit of a roll, no one's going to worry about how much the guys on the bench are making. You're winning baseball games.
Some of the texts coming into the show, this from the 619, says the stoppage in play during the third inning yesterday was because of bees. How about the Padres and lack of quality at bees? Hey, yo. Padres batting 181 during the three-game set against Miami. This from the 386. It says, been settling since the 70s and a little tired at this point, Yard Whisperer. Sign a pitcher now and get Tatis back now.
Okay, well, Tatis is beginning a rehab assignment, double-A ball, I think it
yes.
is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is part of the equation that is being answered or being taken care of. Going out to get the veteran arm. Keuchel is still out there. Whatever I don't know what the Padres' plans are. It would help the rotation certainly with the guys scuffling like they are. But then again, that's up to the Padres, and that's what is their mindset right now? Are they going to make those moves?
They're not. They're not making any moves. Not making any moves.
I don't think they. And again, as I tell the Padre fan, settle in because this basically is what we have for the rest of the season, and if you don't see any moves made, this is going to be the style of baseball you will see to the end of the season. You're not going to see a wild card berth. You're going to end the season, and you're going to think, okay, Padres, you're on the clock because it's 2020.
So virtually, you say that the Padres had like a good month and a half. Right? They had a fun month and a half.
A great month and a half.
And now they're settling into who we thought they were going to be, whether it's young pitching staff or a team that isn't.
I think the shine is off. And we're seeing Chris Paddock struggle. We're seeing the guy struggle at the plate with the bats in their hands. And you really have nothing else to go back to other than...
Well, you got Tatis to go back to.
Okay, you have Tatis, and maybe...
And Machado's yet to get going.
And I think Franchi is supposed to be coming up soon. That was reported by Kevin Acey.
Cordero will be great to get back.
And Cordero could be a guy that you throw into the lineup and maybe sit somebody down.
But your starting rotation is going to remain the same.
That's it. And there is your one constant. And if you're not going to make a move with your rotation, and you have questionable bats, hot and cold, night in, night out, that's why I tell the Padre fan... Dennis Green, we kind of know who we thought they were, and this is it.
Today is also draft day as well. Kevin Acey will join us at 8:10, and Annie Hobron will join us in 15 minutes to get a better idea about what was going on with the Bees yesterday, her back and forth with Franmil Reyes, as so many people loved on Friday night. Chris Acker, new assistant Aztecs basketball coach, will join us at 8:30.
Should we be 844-570-1360? We can carry this throughout the show. Should we be more pissed off as a Padre fan base? Or is it just, well, the successes have been so few and far between, we're kind of immune to it, and we're just kind of numb to being, this is the way the Padres do business. Well, this is the way they play.
There's one person I think should be really pissed off, and that's Andy Green. Pissed off may not be a better way to put it than sleepless nights, because it's these kinds of series when, again, someone like me looks at, quite simply, Padres... over 500. You got the Marlins, who are well under 500. I mean, it's not only a team that isn't very good, it's an organization in a really bad shape. They've gotten rid of Chris Paddock. They've gotten rid of Realmuto. They've gotten rid of Christian Yelich. They've gotten rid of Giancarlo Stanton.
Like, and have a guy in Derek Jeter that doesn't appear to know what he's doing.
Right, and so you've got a team that doesn't really look to have a lot going for it, where you were supposed to be the team that is growing and blossoming, and people are finding their roles. And then you look at what happens, like the Pirates sweep at home. That's one that reflects very poorly on a manager. The Rockies early on. Again, the Reds. And then this one. These are the ones where... it's easy to say you played down to competition, which is also another way of saying you did not have your team ready to go.
And a lot of times, I think as fans, we forget the other guys in that dugout are prideful individuals,
right,
are also fighting to make sure that their paychecks continue to roll in.
It's also a business. And if you continue to lose at home, they're under 500 at home. If people go out to games and go, hey, well, every time I go, they lose. It's not that much fun every time they go to lose. Like, you should look better at home. I know home field advantage is probably more likely what we're about to talk, and that's game two of the NBA Finals. But your team should look like there is some enjoyment of returning to their beds, to their cars, to their normal day of life, to the ballpark that they think that you would know better and enjoy more than the opposition. But on a regular basis, Judd, they look better on the road.
Judd, you can use the excuse when you're on the road, oh, it's a marathon, there's a lot of baseball to be played. But that excuse now doesn't wash at home anymore for the Padres. In my book, it doesn't.
So, about last night.
What the f*** happened last night?
Judson and Costa have this morning's trending topics.
Iguodala takes it across midcourt. Throws cross court. There's Cook again on right side. Three. Got another one. Quinn Cook with three threes here in the fourth quarter.
The great QC Quinn Cook. I still go back to the dagger Iguodala hit. First off, he had about 5 seconds to decide, get himself ready.
And he really shouldn't have shot it. There was too much time on the clock to shoot that shot.
And I don't think we're giving enough credit to Livingston for the pass either. And you saw Iguodala, did the Raptors call timeout after that?
Yes.
Where Iguodala was just kind of pointing at him like, great job. Great job. But that's champions. Those are championship plays.
Okay, was this a championship moment for the Warriors, or was this the Raptors and the young to little experience to coughing one up at home and really, really blowing game two?
I call it a championship moment more so for the Warriors than it was the Raptors coughing it up. Because veteran teams, no matter the circumstances, and when you got a veteran championship coach and the Warriors knew, all right, Steph ain't feeling good, Andre's got the calf issue, we don't have KD, we need the bench guys to step up. Championship teams deliver in the pinch. And that's what they did yesterday.
Yeah, championship teams don't also allow the opposition to go on 20-0 runs.
End the first half and to start the third quarter.
If the Raptors lose this series, watching that game last night, I actually thought as it could go 7 games, but if they end up losing this series, especially if it does go deep, they will look back at game two and thought this is where they lost it. They had a 12-point lead. They had a 12-point lead in the first half. They had all the momentum. They had all the energy. The first half was making me feel like, okay, there was nothing fluky about the game one. You know, you had the broadcast talking about how this team of the Warriors is nowhere near what it used to be from the depth of players coming off of the bench. They are top heavy. And if they're top guys aren't playing great, they don't have a chance. And it was so true. And then there was a moment where it looked like the Raptors kind of said, we've got this game too.
Oh, man.
And then Kerr just pants Nick Nurse at halftime when it comes to one coach having his team ready to go and the other not knowing how to stop an 18-0 run over 5 minutes and what was it, 40 seconds?
Yeah, that's there again. That's when the great teams and the great people on those teams realize, all right, we need to do something here. After game one, and we were talking about it after the game, I thought, oh man, this is going to be a different series. Look at the Raptors. Yeah. Look at the way they just came out and pantsed, to use your term, Golden State. And then after this game, it's like, oh, okay, well, there's the typical Golden State team I'm used to seeing in the championship.
Steph Curry on the Raptors, and talking about their defense.
The whole fourth quarter, they're playing some janky defense, just trying to send bodies to me everywhere. Our whole roster just took advantage of it. Like, over the course of the game, that's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that. You know, with the game on the line, he's made big shots like that before.
Oh, that's a shot at the Raptors. You're just going to leave Andre Iguodala open like that?
Well, if you look at it, it was very chaotic with what was going on. I still don't know how Kawhi, with his freakishly giant hands, I think he may have the biggest hands in the NBA, how he wasn't able to grab the basketball.
Right through the mitts.
And I also felt like you saw the Raptors panic a little bit. I mean, they're a team that's played some perimeter game and it's worked. They're a team that have drove the lane a lot and it's worked. And then all of a sudden they get behind and they were just firing up threes.
They got out of their typical Raptor way of doing things and they looked very frenetic.
Right.
And it may have been a little bit of a panic, especially after an 18-0 run to start the third.
Listen, as long as you win a series, it doesn't matter what it takes, whether it's 7, 6, or 5, or 4. But if there was ever a team that blew an opportunity last night to try to close it sooner rather than later, it's the Raptors who are in a race against time.
They swung their knockout punch and they whiffed. Well, and what they did in the process was give the Warriors life.
Yes, but the race against time is Kevin Durant. Did you see KD? I still don't know why he's not on the bench. But did you see him waiting for his team backstage? Did you see him walking around? I didn't see a limp.
Doc Chow diagnosed it that there was a limp, and he's worried about it.
Well, calf limp or Achilles limp?
Doc Chow doesn't quite know the cool limp. You know, it's right. like me in high school. I had a pretty good walk.
It's
going
called
in high
swag.
School. I mean, again, he may have a little bit of a limp, but at some point in time, they're going to send that 7-footer out there who's going to be somewhat fresh. I know he may get gas sooner.
Well, a 7-footer now that gets a couple of extra days rest. Now they're talking in terms of we may not see him till game 4.
Let's say we didn't see him until game 6. You could avoid a game 6 if he would have won game 2. But you get a chance
if
to see him.
Put it this way. If he walks out onto the court for game 6, if you are the Raptors, I don't think there's any way you can avoid that feeling like, oh, F.
Let's hear from Kawhi. Kawhi's body language was interesting after the game. If you watch the final buzzer, he immediately started clapping. And I took it to be a positive. It was like, okay, all right, that's what happened.
It's only one.
Here's what Kawhi said in post.
Did you want to see the ball in his hands in that situation compared to anybody else on the floor?
No, we wanted to see it in our hands. We wanted to get a steal.
Yeah.
Did he not get the steal because of knee tendonitis?
And that's what everybody's pointing to, that a 100% healthy Kawhi Leonard with his cat-like quick reflexes and massive hands steals that ball and goes down court probably for the breakaway jam.
It kind of looked like it went through his arms, though. You know?
He is not 100% as much as he's busting his ass getting back on defense after every offensive possession.
He doesn't look right, but at the same time,
I think eventually
34 points.
Right. He, you could say, wait a second, for a guy who cares if he's hurt? If he's going to put in 34 points, let him be hurt. I think that as this series goes on, that his whatever, the knee tendonitis, is going to catch up with him.
There was a wonderful moment on Friday night in the postgame show, and shoot or shoot, man, Annie Hubron had to ask the question that got it. We'll ask her why she asked it, how it worked out, and what exactly was going on with all of the bees. Annie Hubron joins us coming up next.
And I will always love you.
Only.
Oh, yeah. Loose Cannon's coming up right at 3 p.m. today. Padres started a 10-game homestand over the weekend. How many wins is it going to take during this 10-game span for us to really consider a big free agent purchase or a big trade? Let's talk about it at 3 p.m. on Extra 1360 and 103.3 FM.
And I will always love you. We'll always love you.
You hear that? Thank you so much at the very end of this clip that has gone viral all across the world. So happy that the First Lady of Sports in San Diego is able to join us and talk to us about getting Franmil Reyes to sing on Friday night at Petco Park. Annie Heilbrun back with us here on Extra. So Annie, you're sitting there, you're interviewing him, and you're starting to think to yourself, I've got to ask him if he will sing. Were you 100% sure he was going to do it?
I was not 100% sure. Good morning, guys. I thought he was going to say no, to be honest, but I just knew that if he said no, it was going to be like a laugh still. Like, you know, like he would smile and laugh and you know, it was kind of like a reference to him singing. Because at that point, so many people had seen the videos in the dugout that he was doing. So it's just kind of like a, you know, the reference to him singing more than anything. So I really thought he was going to say no, but it was just going to be like a nice moment either way, you know? So, but when he grabbed the mic, and the thing about it too is that he sings a lot of different songs. So I wasn't, when he grabbed that mic, I wasn't sure what he was going to sing. You know? So it was like, but then, I mean, like, if you're going to do that moment, he owned it, right? And so it was like,
he really did.
It was cool.
He won so many people over, not just in San Diego, but I think across the whole baseball landscape, like, who's this Franmil Reyes guy? I got to look a little further into this.
It's the next CMT Crossroads. If you heard the mashup we put together there, which the two of them singing together is pretty spectacular. Annie, we've been debating who had the better voice here, Whitney Houston. Where did this begin with this song? Again, we've seen it a lot. It's already gone viral with this song, I Will Always Love You, which is such a weird song for these guys to fall for, and then their own kind of rendition of it. Do you know where this began?
Yeah, I know. It's so random, right? So it began with Franmil singing it in the dugout after home runs. And he was doing it in the dugout after home runs throughout the season. And Chris Paddock was doing it with him. And the rendition is this Instagram star. It's like this guy on Instagram that takes songs and does like these little renditions of them. And I should tweet it out, but I went back and I found it. When the guy does this rendition, he does kind of what Franmil and the rest of the dugout does, which is like he starts to go into that ooh, ooh, and they all start playing like the percussion part of it and this and that. So he's got a few friends. He's like doing it in some garage somewhere or whatever. And he's got a few friends that jump in on that part and start to like, you know, do the beat and mm-hmm. the, you know, like the beatbox and all that stuff. So Franmil, you know, just like adopted it. And but what's so fun about it, now they do it before every game, is, you know, like I said, it was just Chris Paddock. But then all the other guys started joining in, and, like, it's, like, funny. Like, you know, you got, like, Matt Strom on the Gatorade, you know, big container of Gatorade or whatever, and you've got, like, you know, Eric Hosmer hitting the padding of the wall, and, like, and there was just, it's just so, it's super fun. And what's great about Franmil and what you guys just mentioned about him, you know, a lot of people just starting to fall in love with him, is he is that guy. Like, he's not acting for the cameras. He is truly that guy, whether you see him, you know, walking along the streets or in the clubhouse or in front of a camera, like, that is who he is.
I really love when he called you honey and gave you the side hug. Like, it was a really sweet, and then he rest his head on your head. It was very adorable.
You know, it's so funny, guys. I'm going to write something about this because, you know, you spend your whole career not doing that as a woman. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's a funny thing, you know, like, and with him, it was like, you know, I feel like I've been in this industry long enough now too, where I'm very confident, you know, or more secure of just kind of like the perception of things. And you can't not, like, that is him. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a lot of people about it afterwards, and like, cause he hugged like the next five people he saw, you know, he was like on cloud nine, you know, and he's a hugger, but he's also just a really nice person, a really sincere person. And when his, you know, obviously his Dominican roots are, you know, just this fun loving person. But he's someone too, that when you're around every day, whether it's me or it's, you know, Kevin Acey, Dennis Lynn, whichever reporter it is, like, he's someone who will form a friendship and a relationship with the people that are kind of around him every day, and really a friendship with the people who are working for the team that cover, you know, that are, like, you know, doing the social media and all that stuff. So he's just someone that he cares about people, you know, like, well, and I think that's what.
I got to say the way that you describe Franmil, I think would be a lot of the ways people would describe you. And so I would venture to guess that, no, I mean sincere and kind. And I'm not convinced that everyone would have gotten that reaction out of Franmil to do it if you weren't the way that you are.
Except Andy can hit a lot better than some of the Padres in the lineup.
Wow.
Said it.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that, Judson. And I don't know about that, Costa, but yeah, no, it was definitely you were in the emotion of the moment at that point, and it was pretty cool.
Annie, it was such a high Friday night, especially ending with the song.
Flying high.
Did you say? Yeah. And then you get the dog games Saturday and Sunday. And one of the things that we're just talking about on the show today is, I think it Padre fans just kind of have to resign themselves to the fact that this is the process with this team. The young guys are going to scuffle. Some bats are going to be cold and settle in, because most likely this is the way it's going to play out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, honestly, obviously we hear this with every professional sports team, right? It's like any given day, or you heard it in football, right? And any given Sunday, or you can't count out the bad teams. It was not ideal, though. The way that they lost to the Marlins and the way that they just couldn't get their bats to after that first night. You know, they've gotten 56% or something of their runs by home runs, which is, like they've said, hey, we would love to manufacture some more small ball. We would love to manufacture some more runs. And they know they need to do that, but they had kind of been doing enough between the home runs. And then, like, even that night on Friday night, they were able to score two more runs without the home run. So, they were kind of doing it. It was kind of, this is who we are. We're a home run team. We're a power hitting team. But we're still going to make sure that we're able to get the other runs scored when we need them. But then on Saturday and Sunday, I think to have 2 days like that, you expected maybe one. And really on that day, especially yesterday, like, Matt Strom's been so good for this team. And so he had a bad outing, but it still doesn't count. It still doesn't really excuse the bats for being as quiet as they were. And, yes, starters can be good or pitchers can be good from the Marlins, even though they're a team that's at the bottom of the NL. But you still got to find a way to get more hits than those two hits they had throughout most of the game. And then at the end, you saw Hunter Renfro get another home run and whatnot. But I think it is troubling though, yes, they've been doing really well, offensively as far as like staying above 500 and whatnot. And you've seen Eric Hosmer heat up and everything, but they're going to have to figure out, kind of how to go for the jugular in some of these situations for sure.
Andy Hopper on San Diego Union Tribune, Fox Sports, San Diego. And we've got about 60 seconds left. Friday night was a big moment. Sunday was big as well. Where did the bees come from? What's the background? What happened there?
No one knows where the bees came from. There was apparently a queen bee. They seemed to come in from behind right field, and they just got so low to the ground. Usually when they do these bee things, like, the bees will be higher up, and so it'll scare everyone, and then they'll just kind of like leave. A few minutes later, they'll just keep flying up the stadium. Well, they just got so low.
Bees are going to do bee things, Annie.
Yeah.
You can't control it, man.
They were like trapped. They were like, well, we're just going to kick in here now, So it was wild. I mean, I've never seen something like that, the way that they got on that microphone. But you just never know what you're going to see at the ball yard. And yesterday it was thousands of bees.
When Franmil called you honey on Friday night, we should have seen it coming.
Oh.
Right?
He
when
knew.
Franmil speaks, anybody, is this thing on?
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, yeah. The sweetness, the honey, yeah. The sweetness is coming. Yeah, he pulled those bees in.
Annie, if you could, please tweet out the Instagram video. We'd love to play it of where this all stemmed from, and the mashup will continue being played here. And shoot or shoot, man, you asked for that question Friday night. You gave Padre fans a ton of joy. I mean, he just grabbed that mic. The speakers throughout Petco Park, I mean, you may have heard dogs howling through all of downtown after he was bellowing out this song. Congratulations, yeah. Annie. Great job.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, it's awesome for the fans. I think it was cool for the fans to have that moment. So I think that's what he loves the most as well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Annie. Annie Heilbrun right, there.
Care.
Okay. He's doing bee things, man. She's right. They were doing bee things. Baseball's in trouble. Where's Kyrie going to end up playing? And a Florida man that may be the all-time topper. All next. Final hour, 8 o'clock. We have a pretty fun announcement for everybody in the morning family here on Extra 1360. Something that we've been kind of throwing around and thinking about. We're going to pull the trigger on. And then Chris Acker. New assistant coach for head coach Brian Dutcher with the Aztecs men's basketball team. He will join us at 8:30.
Looking forward to that. And Kevin Acey as well as 8:10. The rehab assignment begins for Fernando Tatis Jr. Can we get an idea of how long he'll be in Double A? I'm just guessing they'd like him back as soon as possible.
The draft
is upcoming as well. I did see something in the San Diego Union Tribune, and it said something along the lines of the goal for the Padres draft. Best player available. And I thought, I like this approach.
Okay.
I like this approach a lot. How about the best baseball player in the world that is eligible to be drafted?
Grab him.
They take at their selection. So we'll talk to, maybe we have an idea of who that could be.
That's a pretty sound mindset.
I like it.
The greatest player ever.
I respect it.
And it's you, young man. Congratulations. Here's my daily dump.
It's time for the biggest stories of the day, according to Mike Costa.
This is going to take some getting used to.
Does he know where this pirate hooker's mouth has been?
This is Costa's Daily Dump.
All right, I said baseball is in trouble. The Rays and Marlins drew 12,653 on Wednesday night, and that was combined. Baltimore, Cincy, Minnesota, Tampa Bay set stadium lows this year. Kansas City had its smallest home crowd since 2011. Toronto, San Francisco since 2010. The Marlins average attendance is less than AAA Las Vegas. Baseball's overall average of 26,854 through Wednesday, 1.4% below the similar point last season, which wound up below 30,000 for the first time since 2003. Commissioner Rob Manfred attributes this year's drop to fewer season tickets, but emphasizes day of game sales are up 6%.
Woo.
So there you go. Baseball not drawing the fans. Kyrie Irving, where is he going to play? That seems to be the big question as we head into the offseason for the NBA. That rumor about him reuniting with LeBron James by signing with the Lakers this summer. People close to him are reportedly advising him to strongly consider the Nets. I think that was your take, wasn't it, Fletch? Maybe it's wishful thinking behind the notion of him not joining the Lakers, but Irving re-signing with the Celtics or signing with the Knicks has seemed most likely for a while. A lot of people are saying, yeah, he ain't going to sign with the Lakers.
Kyrie needs a team dad. I think he should sign with the Lakers.
They need a team dad.
He needs a team dad.
Oh, could be.
He needs to be like number three on the best players on the team.
He kind of ran away from home and then said, you know what, dad, I understand why you had all the rules in place.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. He got out on his own. He realized, all right, I do kind of need that dad figure, i.e. LeBron.
He pretty much called and told him as much.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, I didn't really understand what you were doing or what it'd be like to be a leader, be the face of a franchise and all that goes with it. Hey, Dad, I didn't know what it'd be like to, you know, run a home and have a job and support everybody.
Yeah. Oh, life's tough, Dad. You were right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Without any further ado, a man in Valrico, Florida is facing charges after deputies say he accidentally shot a woman during an act of foreplay. Andrew Chinaldo, 23, shot the woman in her upper body with his registered handgun this past yesterday. Deputies say the two were engaging in an act of foreplay involving the gun. Now, Fletch, a lot of times when you're in the midst of foreplay, your gun goes off prematurely. So I'm just curious, have the police ever been called? Or is it just one of those things you go, hey, I'm sorry, sorry, and we'll just move on.
Yes.
That's my daily dump for today.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Is any chance a fat guy just said boxing?
I tell you what, in watching the clips during the last break, when you mentioned he got knocked down, mm-hmm. and it was like
Andrew Ruiz Jr.
gets knocked down. And it's like, okay, are you going to stay down, kid, or are you going to come back? And from that point of the fight on to where, what's his name, lost?
Anthony Joshua. Study these names with me, Costa.
Anthony Joshua.
And Andy Ruiz Jr.
Ruiz was like, you know what? I'm doing it right now. I'm emptying the battery pack. These gold gloves are solid gold. And he just went for it as if he knew, if I'm going to do it, I got to do it right now.
There's a little bit of a Rocky thing to it. Anthony Joshua looks like he is carved out of granite. Like, I mean, he has this Apollo Creed freakish build. Now,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, Rocky, especially as 1, 2, 3, and 4, as he got his HGH orders in line, his body began to change. But he wasn't like that in the first one. That's why he was so great.
No.
And Andy Ruiz Jr., number one, you know, I hate just calling him a fat guy, but he's very, very open about his love for Snickers. And Snickers is already sending him a special package. So I don't think his body's going to get any better.
He is also
so relatable. Literally, as he's jumping up and down, as you're playing this music, great job, Fletch. His hands are going in the air like Rocky and Rocky 2.
His breasts are going up and down with him.
His bad tats and the way his body is built is so much more relatable than the way Anthony Joshua's body is built. And by the way, I want to spend money on his next fight.
I'm down to spend the money.
Okay.
I'm in.
We should all see his next fight. Like, to watch the third round, it's the four rounds on Twitter. I retweeted it. He gets knocked down, and it's like he realizes, you ain't so bad, which is an actual Rocky quote.
Yes, it is.
And then he just goes toe-to-toe. Like, he's like, if that's the best you got,
here comes
you
mine.
Can't knock me down again. And then he just pummeled him. He literally drove Joshua to quit.
Yeah.
He just wanted it more.
He glazed him.
He slid into the DMs of the promoter once a previous fighter fell out. I mean, this is a great story because of who this guy is, what he looks like, from El Centro.
Yeah.
And I want to see his next fight.
He's good for Andy Ruiz. He's Jr. almost like the everyman champion.
Amen.
Now.
The everyman champion. Yeah. Know your enemy. We'll talk about the Philadelphia Phillies coming to town. They're actually a lot better than I remembered them being. We'll talk about Fernando Tatis Jr., when he'll be back, with Kevin Acey upcoming, and a fun announcement coming up next. Don't